I'd like to read just a few verses from John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and we have these words here. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The reason I'm standing here tonight is because many, many years ago, the invitation was given to come to Jesus. Now, I know we can look at scriptures and we realise that, of course, we have to be acceptable in God's sight. In order to come to him, there's got to be a purity. God cannot look upon sin. And we believe that Jesus was sent into this world to pay the price of sin, because we're all sinners, each one of us. I'm a sinner. And many years ago, as I say, as a small lad, I had that call. I was in a big crusade meeting. You might have heard of the evangelist called Billy Graham from many years ago. And the invitation was given. And the Lord convicted my soul and I stepped forward. Not an easy thing to do in Wembley Stadium. And we're talking about the old Wembley Stadium there before it was knocked down. And walking over the what some people consider the hallowed turf, don't they? Where the invitation for those who came forward actually would go across the football pitch, as it were, and to the foot of the platform there. And it was at that place that I gave myself to the Lord. And we can only come to the Lord if we actually give of ourselves. It's the same with anything. It's the same. I've been married for many years. I had to give myself to my wife, and my wife gave herself to me. We came into that blessed union called marriage. And there had to be that sort of doing away with one's own sort of will, one's own ideas, as it were, in order to come and to give oneself over to the other. And as, when it comes to giving oneself to the Lord, then we're only doing something that the Lord requires of us. And tonight I want to actually talk about rewards. Bit of a funny thing to talk about, because we're being bombarded, aren't we, by the prospect of rewards. If we do this and that, you know, if we buy so many groceries, or if we have so many points on our club cards or whatever it is, we'll get some rewards. If we put a few pence or however much it is into the national lottery, we might get a whacking great reward, mightn't we? And we're sort of drawn, aren't we, by all these sort of temptations to try and have for ourselves a reward. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, then yes, there is a reward. And I believe that the reward is the Lord Jesus himself. You see, God sent, that's God the Father, sent his Son Jesus into this world to save us from our sins. Because the wages of sin is death. You've perhaps heard this many, many times. That the reward for sin is death. That's our wages. Now, I used to work for a boss who thought that there is no God, or if there was, what happened to you when you died, there was no consequence, and nothing happened to you. You just buried in the ground or burnt in the crematorium, and that's it. But it's not it, because there is a God who actually requires an account of each one of us. If I was a gambling man, and I'm not a gambling man, then to actually give up my own ambitions and ideas for the sake of the Lord God Almighty in this life is but a very, very small price to pay for the eternal reward of living in Emmanuel's land, I'll put it that way, with him, with the Lord himself. Whereas the other way round, to actually gamble, as it were, that there isn't a God and I can do what I like and get away with murder if I can get away with it. In other words, I'm not accountable to anybody. I'm all right, Jack, and just carry on with life. And then find that when you die, there is an account. And you're going to miss out on eternal life. You're going to go to eternal damnation, destruction, hell that Jesus talked about so much in his ministry. Then I'm sure it doesn't take much of a gambling man to see, really, that the best way to deal with that situation. But having said that, we're not into gambling because we have certainty here. The words of God are certain. We read in Scripture that heaven and earth might pass away, but my word will not pass away. It is eternal. Hallelujah. So let's look at this reward business. And it's in chapter 14 that we read. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. And you notice here, he's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to people in general. He's talking to those who are following the Lord Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, many people do have troubled hearts. It can be in the little things, can't they? You know, did I remember to turn off, you know, the fire before I came out the door, you know, to come even here tonight? Well, no, you probably wouldn't have the fire on tonight, perhaps. But, you know, the little things, you know, they're just there, aren't they? And they sort of worm their way into our minds. Or it can be bigger things. You know, will I have a job to go to tomorrow? Or, you know, how am I going to get, you know, how am I going to pay the bills that are coming? Bigger things. It might be to do with relationships. We can be troubled about all sorts of things, can't we, in life? Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. And of course, we know that Jesus himself is God. And in fact, he goes on to say that. He who has seen me, he said, didn't he, has seen the Father. I and my Father are one. So Jesus is God, but he's the human manifestation of God. On this earth, he lived 2,000 odd years ago, and he walked this earth, and hallelujah, he's the express image of the Father. And what did he say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, there is something there. And he's saying, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I want to challenge you tonight. If you are living this life, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are, then you have a reward coming. And it's to do with that which Jesus himself is preparing for you and for me. If you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ tonight, you won't be coming in for this reward. And it's only those who come with a brokenness before Almighty God and realize and understand and know under the conviction of God's Holy Spirit that they're sinners and they need saving from the consequences of their sin. Consequences being eternal death and damnation. So, Jesus goes on to speak to the disciples and he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This is wonderful, isn't it? We've got some friends who have just gone over to Holland, the Netherlands, and they're an elderly couple, but how heartened they were when they had contact with someone who's actually going to meet them and going to drive them to their destination. When they get off the train at the other end, there's someone going to meet them and going to take them to their destination. This is Jesus here. He's saying, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, you might be living a life that you're not interested in things of God. So therefore, when he says, "Oh, you know, that I'll reach and so where I am, there you may be also," that might be something of no interest to you tonight. But I'll say to you that think again, because time is short. A couple of weeks ago, I was actually speaking at Chartridge, and our sister might remember it. Two sisters actually were in the congregation then. I was actually illustrating the gospel by thinking about an egg timer. I don't know whether anybody's got an egg timer at home, but they're a curious sort of little device, aren't they? But very, very important if you want a nicely boiled egg. A simple device. You don't see many of them around nowadays because everything's gone electronic, hasn't it? And, you know, if it's not a clockwork dial, then it's a sort of digital buttons that you have to press and have the time come up on the little screen there, a little device there. But an egg timer is really like an hourglass. And perhaps you've never seen an hourglass. Well, you might have done if you're a user of a computer. Because when you press the buttons on a computer and the computer is busy, then on the screen, you get a little icon come up, which is in the form of an hourglass, don't you? And when that goes off, it means that the computer is then ready to acquiesce or obey your command. So here we have then this aspect of an egg timer. And within an egg timer is it's a glass vessel that looks like a figure of eight. And it has some very soft sand in it, some granules or some little specks of sand. And it's quite interesting, really, because in the scriptures, we have the thought, not just the thought. In fact, it's actually written there, and it says in Genesis, "And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good." This is God speaking to Abraham. "And I will make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." So there, the people of Abraham are spoken about as being like sand of the seashore. And if we think about ourselves as being like sand inside the egg timer, in order to get from one side of the egg timer, because what happens is you turn this and gravity, all the sand pours through the little funnel and it falls into the vessel at the bottom, doesn't it? That's what happens. If you've never seen an egg timer, I've got to explain it, haven't I, here? But that's what it is. And indeed, once all the sand from the top has got to the bottom, 3 minutes or whatever it is, then you can take your egg out and enjoy it because it's done wonderfully well. But we've got a little lesson here, and I think for each one of us, we can understand that sand has to trickle down, as it were. In order to get from the top to the bottom, it has to go through that little narrow neck, doesn't it? And this is what Jesus said here. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In other words, if you're at that speck of sand in the top there, in order to get to the bottom, going through that little neck, it's like those who want to come to God, and the only way to come to God is through Jesus himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no truth, there is no life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing that we can do of ourselves. It's what Jesus has done on Calvary's cross. He's paid the price for our sin. Now, fortunately, of course, that sand, all of it does trickle through. But I've got to say to you that if, in fact, it was sticky, we could think of that as being like sin that clogs us and makes a barrier and stops us from actually entering into that Emmanuel's land that I spoke about with Jesus in perpetual everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, the way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the only way. And I would say to you tonight that this is the gospel, that there is a need for each one of us to come with a broken and sorry heart, so that we might be acceptable before God as we repent of sin, turning away from it. I don't know, when you were growing up, you might have found that your parents said to you, now say you're sorry. And in order to obey your parents, you said sorry. But were you really sorry? Possibly not. You perhaps said it just to sort of, you know, carry on, as it were. No. In other words, when we come to God, he knows our heart, doesn't he? He knows whether we really mean what we say. And indeed, we have that injunction in scriptures. We have that need to come and to turn away from sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we know that there is a need to confess our sin before Almighty God. There is no need to confess it to other people. We confess it directly to him. In fact, I've got a scripture here. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's that twofold aspect. As I say, when we're growing up saying sorry, did we believe it? Possibly not. We need to come before Almighty God. And I would say that the time we spend here tonight is precious in the sight of the Lord, that we should take note of what God says to each one of us as he brings conviction to us through the power of his Holy Spirit. I want to say to you tonight then, that you should go away and remember that Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe that includes girls and women as well. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way that we can possibly attain eternal life. And we need to believe that in our hearts, and we need to confess it with our mouth. We shall be saved then. Hallelujah. Well, those are just some thoughts for tonight that I wanted to bring. I believe it's important that we take the words of our Lord Jesus to heart. There is a reward coming, but time is getting short, and we don't have very much time, I believe, to come to the Lord with that brokenness and humility and humbleness before him. May the Lord give us understanding.